In the midst of a cataclysmic global pandemic, now more than ever, companies need teams who can quickly adapt, organize, and respond. Veterans are uniquely equipped and trained to work under pressure. They have a mission-first work ethic with crisis management built into their core. Veterans are trained to solve problems, assess risk, and find solutions. We want to pause and thank all the brave frontline responders, healthcare professionals, police, fire, veterans, and essential workers who are keeping our communities moving forward in these unprecedented times. Welcome to the Diversity Deep Dive Podcast. I'm your host, Audra Jenkins, joined by members of my Randstad Equality, Diversity and Inclusion, or READY crew, Courtney Brazier Barrett and Daniel Hughes. Today, we're speaking with our very own Daniel Hughes, Diversity and Veteran Strategist. In this role, Daniel utilizes local workforce affiliates, nonprofits, military transition assistance, and veteran programs to provide high-impact, low-cost solutions to veteran placement at client locations. After exiting the U.S. Army as a technical engineer and combat veteran in 2007, Daniel earned a bachelor's degree in communications from the University of Washington, Tacoma, and taught math, science, and engineering courses at technical colleges in Washington State. He has also worked in the aerospace and manufacturing arena, where he created programs, managed state and national grants, built veteran and diverse talent pipelines. Daniel is a product of the Veteran Affairs Vocational Rehabilitation and Employment Program, a member of the Wounded Warrior Project, and is known for his advocacy and recruitment of combat, career, and mid-career veterans, as well as his development of veteran and industry partnerships and programs. He is also a certified diversity professional and is committed to serving the underrepresented and historically disenfranchised population while promoting diversity and inclusion in the workplace and beyond. Welcome, Daniel.
Hi, happy to be here.
Well, first of all, Daniel, as the daughter of a Vietnam veteran and mother of a Marine Corps veteran, I want to thank you so much for your service. We know that freedom is only possible when brave men and women across the world are on the front lines protecting it. We're so excited to speak to you and learn more about your journey. So jumping right in, we often hear that a major strength of having a veteran on your staff is the ability to work well within a team. Why is that a strength even more critical during a time of crisis?
That's a good question. You know, teamwork is an essential function of military life. Anything you do pertains to finding out where you fit in and plugging into the overall mission. I mean, everything you do. So when I talk to veterans seeking employment or those who are transitioning from active duty, the top motivator besides location and pay is company culture. And will they fit in? You know, that's because, to put it bluntly, service members are problem solvers. We're motivated to fix challenges and efforts to streamline capabilities and resources while being mindful of how they and myself, our work influences the overall goal. So there's an understanding that your team is only as strong as its weakest link, and everyone should work to elevate each other and be willing to take on roles and responsibilities that allow the team to finish together. Veterans naturally congregate to organizations that benefit the larger body. And within your organization, business resource groups that support veterans, like Randstad's own Forces for Business and our Military Family Network group, they do a great job with connecting veterans to company and community resources to support and retain them while they're in our employment. So that sense of belonging and community is something that's difficult to replicate after you exit the military.
Awesome. Yeah. That's true, Daniel. I really do like the fact of that sense of belonging. I mean, that's really what diversity and inclusion is all about. It's about getting to a place where everyone feels like they could be their authentic selves and they belong at the organizations they work in and all the spaces they occupy. So thank you for that. So during these critical times, you know, we find that our initial response is to panic. What have you learned from your time in the military that will help us remain calm and manage stress and anxiety as we wait out what's next following COVID-19?
I often focus, when I can consciously do it, you know, focus on what you can control. You know, service members know what it's like to put on mission blinders and focus on what's in front of them. Trust in the abilities of those you work with and leaders in your communities is you're responsible for who trust you, you know. There's a whole pattern that we fall into when we get out where there's not that comfortability with your leadership because you don't know them. There's not that personal relationship, but we still have to trust in their abilities and trust in what their jobs are, what their missions are. When I got back from Operation Iraqi Freedom at the beginning of 2004, we immediately began to rewrite convoy operations because of our experiences with improvised explosive devices or IEDs. You know, I'm confident that this shared experience of COVID-19 effects will lead to shifts in our culture and responsiveness to a threat like this in the future. It'll lessen your anxiety by focusing on what you can control. Trust in each other, help society where you can, and know that our response to this in the future will serve us better.
I love that. I love that you are being able to tie it back to actual your service. I think that's important. I think people are looking for comfort. People are looking for meaning in all of this. And sometimes there is no meaning. It is just the way things are. And I think that we have to really focus on our resilience. I think we have to focus on, like you said, what we can control. I think we control our thinking about it. I think if we can remain hopeful, I think that gives us something that we will get through this. And, you know, I'm very thankful for having that hope. And hopefully we can instill some hope in some of our listeners as well. Your ability, I think one of the things I find interesting is, and I've seen this replicated in the veteran that I know personally, is that they really work well under pressure. It plays into this paradigm of a new normal, you know, this remote work environment that we've seen a rise over the last decade. And I think this has really has pushed us to this rapid transformation in remote work as well as, you know, technology. But has it really now taken center stage in 2020? Do you think that we keep talking about the new normal, we keep talking about this working remotely and everything? Don't you think this is an opportunity also for veterans, you know, here in 2020, now that we've got this in the front and center? You know, one of the challenges I find that in recruiting veterans is maybe, you know, maybe it's not the environment that they're used to working in. I mean, do you think that being in their home element, you know, helps them in this remote work as well?
Yeah, there's a few ways to think about that. I mean, veterans, you get really good at training. Number one, you train to train. And I tell this, I was just talking about this with someone today. Veterans' abilities to train is the thing that you're looking for. That's the thing that, to throw them into something that they're not used to, something that they're not familiar with, and to really get that response out of them that you're looking for. You're going to get that more so with a veteran, I think, than other individuals who come into it with a process. And this is what a normal looks like. Veterans are used to dealing with things that require them to think on their feet. So situations and organizations and externalities, things like that. You're always expected to come into a new role and learn everything about it. Not only that, but also roles that feed into your function as well as the position of the role that your job directly supports, so that you can continue on and make the best decisions in the absence of personnel or orders, you know? So when the tough times hit, the automatic functions of your daily routine are just that, routine. You want unexpected externalities, as I've kind of mentioned. You want them to garner more of your attention, focus, resources without compromising your ability to support day-to-day operations. And also, like I said, there's two things to this. Veterans have a motor in them, and they engender certain traits and characteristics that most companies seek and cultivate, you know, that they spend money on cultivating. It's a part of their bottom line, you know. And in boot camp, you're taught to make the best decisions in the absence of those orders, you know, to be loyal to your country and your unit, to be dutiful and fulfill your obligations, to treat others with respect, to put welfare of others above that of your own through selfless service, to have honor, integrity, personal courage in everything that you do. I mean, those are the things that you're taught right away, you know. Additionally, you know, working in a remote environment requires motivation, organization, and self-accountability. It's rare when I run across a veteran who lacks any of these skills or needs significant training in any of the areas that I just mentioned. You know, all the ex-service members and their family members, for that matter, that I have worked with in the last few years have been amazing. We have a few on our Ronside Equality, Diversity, and Inclusion team. You know, they're cream of the crop, always.
Awesome. Thank you, Daniel. So kind of staying in that vein of working remote, do you have any pointers for someone who may be newly working from home that hasn't been in the military or had that experience of working under pressure? How can they be successful working kind of in this new normal, in this remote space?
Great question, Courtney. You know, getting organized. Yes, I do have some suggestions. One's get organized. You need to be as efficient as possible. You need to be intentional with your work responsibilities. If you're transitioning from a brick and mortar office setting to one that's online, you can feel like your work is more closely scrutinized and your assumption may not be far from the mark, you know? So get organized. Prioritize your workflow, keep an action item list, and keep your supervisors in the loop with your productivity weekly and try to touch base with your colleagues daily. It's very critical that you remain connected, but reconnected in a very intentional way. You want to be seen as someone who is reliable, accountable, and most importantly, flexible to meeting the demands of your department or your business unit. Make yourself an asset. You know, when I came on to the scene in 2010 after coming out of college, it seemed like a lot of companies were paring down their workforce. And when they were, a lot of those individuals who weren't multi-skilled or a lot of individuals who weren't flexible enough to work outside of their comfort zone, they were the ones that had to transfer to a new industry or they had to take on new jobs and a new market, really market new skills and capabilities for themselves. And it's because that's what companies are looking for. Companies are looking for people who are flexible, who can exercise extra skills that they may have that they may not have showcased before and make sure that they're making an impact where they're at. You make sure that you can make an impact where you're at.
Awesome. So I'm going to kind of switch gears a little bit here. I know that veterans learn many great skills during their time in the military. And I know you mentioned some of those great skills in your previous responses. With so much uncertainty going on around the economy and employment, do you feel that some of those learned behaviors can work against you?
Well, they can. You know, we spoke of teamwork and what we as transitioning service members and veterans to some extent can have trouble coming to terms with is that the civilian workforce, there's a constant struggle for resources and acknowledgement for a job well done. In the military, if you work hard and put in the extra effort, it's usually noted by someone on the team and they understand where you're coming from because your focus is on mission success. You know, you're a part of the greater good. Out here, that extra effort can have the added dimension of stepping on someone's toes, and you should be mindful of how your efforts impact others at your company. My advice, partner with difficult personalities. Turn into the skid, always. You know, if you find yourself in that position, your challenges with personnel who feel threatened by your presence, who want you to slow down, who may devalue your work, that'll not end ever. You know, that, I mean, and that goes for everybody. You know, you understand what that's like if you become a threat in that way at your own employment, wherever you're at. You know, turn into the skid, turn into it, you know, bring them in closer, grip them tighter. They're valuable to your personal and your professional growth. You know, they can help show you where your deficiencies lay. And most importantly, they often do and can set you on a path to being a more well-rounded contributor and leader.
Those are excellent insights, Daniel. Thank you for that. One of the things that I think is a challenge as pervasive as COVID-19 is changing the landscape of employment as we know it. How can veterans and your team allow for a more stable work environment?
Well, you know, adversity, you know, physical, mental, emotional, or moral is commonplace in military service. You're constantly cultivating the right type of courage necessary to make gains, to change your current situation to one that is more economical or advantageous or beneficial, you know, from initial training to peacetime operations to combat and then back to adjusting civilian life. All of that takes courage. It takes something that you have to build to move forward. Where does that courage come from? It comes from trusting in your ability to train and to learn how to perform an unfamiliar task with relative proficiency in a short period of time. We train to fight. I remember telling some of my buddies when receiving orders to go to war, this is it. This is what we've been training for. And it was, you know, being in good physical shape, weapons qualifications, field and troop movement exercises, sergeant's time training, performing checks and services on your vehicles, you know, to name just a few things, you know, all of those things play into how well you fight. They play into how confident you are in yourself, your equipment, and the people in your direct and indirect support network whose lives are dependent on your knowledge and your actions. Service members bring that sense of purpose with them to the civilian marketplace. Make no mistake, that's what they're doing, is finding a place to plug themselves in and to be an asset.
Absolutely. Well, from my own experience, you know, you've definitely been a true asset to our team, and we're very thankful, as well as the other veterans and military spouses on the Ready crew. One of the things I think you hit the nail on the head is like they come with a sense of purpose. You know, that's something a lot of people, you know, they may go their whole career and not have that sense of purpose. And I think that's amazing that veterans come with that. You know, that's something they already carry and they hold dear, you know, to their creed. So as someone who specializes in veteran recruitment, what can veterans do during times like this to remain employable? You know, are there any specific skills they can work on or acquire to remain competitive during this landscape?
Absolutely. That's a great question. First, they can grow their network. You know, you can grow your network, get on social media. And I'll say that again, if you're a veteran or a transitioning service member and you're listening to this, you should have a LinkedIn and or Facebook account, both of them preferably. Make sure that you're presentable in both because your brand is paramount, you know, when you're searching for employment. I was a recruiter for a large aerospace company in their fighter jet program. And when I took a look at candidates for roles I was trying to fill, they were mostly veterans. And although I didn't always, I usually did take a look at their LinkedIn account. You know, your knowledge, skills, and abilities, they're always, let's be clear about this. Your knowledge, skills, and abilities, they're always the main focus of roles for which you've applied. Okay. There's the basic qualifications, the preferred qualifications. But what's often overlooked is that your image, your personal brand is also a factor that you're asking a company to hitch their wagon to. All right. Also, if there are short-term training certificates or upskilling programs that you can participate in to make yourself more competitive in your field, I also recommend pursuing those when you have the time. There are a lot of free programs out there provided by veteran nonprofits, and check out websites like the Institute for Veterans and Military Families that's hosted by Syracuse University, you know, for a ton of great resources and training opportunities. And when you find yourself in a position in life to train or to go through school, I always say, you know, don't just walk through that door, sprint through it, because you may not have that opportunity again for a long time. You know, when I used to teach, I would tell my students this: when you find yourself in school, you know, if you can, and it's responsible enough to do so, stay there for as long as possible and get as many certificates and as much education and as much learning in as possible. Because once you have children, once those responsibilities come down on you like an avalanche, you know, you don't have a lot of time to really work those things out for yourself anymore. And so you can find yourself in a position to do that. If you find yourself in a position to do that, to train, to upskill, take the opportunity. And really, it's about what you learn. It's what's important to you to learn. It's not, you know, the grades are important, okay? Grades are always important. But at the same time, you know, for the most part, your grades are a reflection of your understanding of the material. And so if you understand the material better and you're really in there to, you're in it to win it, and you're in there to train well, it'll be reflected in the position that you get later and the work that you do when you get into industry. So be mindful of that.
Awesome. Thank you, Daniel. Those are really, really great tips, especially about the, you know, the LinkedIn profile. Something as simple as that, you'd be surprised at how many people don't have one. When I recruited, I always looked at your LinkedIn profile. So if you didn't have it on your resume, I would, you know, just go and look for you and search you out. So great tips there. Kind of staying in the vein of veteran recruitment, what are two important factors of veteran recruitment that talent acquisition advisors should be aware of when sourcing or screening potential candidates?
One is that the resumes that you're looking at may have a ton of military jargon on them with acronyms and training that looks like gibberish or technical terms that you may not be focused on because they're unfamiliar to you. You know, there are military to civilian occupation translators out there, websites and organizations that can help you get to the heart of their skills and how those skills are pertinent for the role that you're seeking to fill. They also have additional duty identifiers that bring with them skills that you may not be aware of. So ask them. You know, mine were, I was a combat lifesaver and a unit prevention leader. And those are definitely good skills to have, you know, in specific industries, which brings me to my next point. Talk to them. I speak with many veterans regularly who have lost their jobs or are transitioning out of the service, sometimes and most of the time nightly, you know. Their number one comment that I get from them is that they feel like a number when a recruiter talks to them. If you have a moment, explain the hiring process to them and where they are at in the process. Even if you don't personally think they're going to move forward. The simple task of thanking them for their service goes a long way as well. When you have someone who identifies as a military spouse or a family member, take the time to get to know them as well. That network, the network veterans and their families have, can and will support your future hiring needs. Leave a good impression because they have a long memory as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Daniel. We've kind of heard it all before that veterans can be very direct. Where does that come from, and how does being transparent help employers with projects and workflow?
We mentioned this already, but I'll keep harping on it. It comes from teamwork. Teamwork requires constant communication. You know, to make good decisions in real time, people must be as direct and concise as possible with the information they provide, from troop movements to and requirements to battle update briefs or bubs. You know, there's no way to mince words. You know, what are we looking at? You know, making heavy decisions with limited information is challenging. Incomplete or vague information makes that task even more difficult. You know, when people are direct with their intentions and efforts, you know, it breeds a higher level of accountability and intentional commitment, you know, in relation to work standards and expectations. A joke's funny because you understand the premise. You know, if you don't understand the premise, a joke's not funny. Same thing with work. You know, if somebody doesn't know what to do, they can't do a good job. And so I think that's the reason we need to be as transparent as possible. Military members, both current and former, have this go or no-go mentality. You know, there's very little gray area. Either you can perform a task competently or you can't. That's usually quite clear in training in your unit and during deployments, but may not be so much when you're training for a job in the civilian workforce. You know, you know where you and others need training, support, or help in the military. I think that we should try to engender that sort of training out here as well. So being direct with new hires that you have who are veterans, they want to know how to do the job. You know, they want to know how to do the job. They want to know what they need to do, when they need to do it, and how they're going to get measured on it, you know, so that they can get feedback. Feedback's very important. In the Army, we had something called AARs or after action reviews, and it's very important to the mission. It's very important to your task, you know. Transparency cultivates trust within a team. That's the bottom line. Allowing for an even distribution of responsibilities and an increase in unit cohesiveness that can't be gained in other ways, or that can only be gained through transparency, is really what we should be doing when we talk to veterans and we talk to groups of people, I think, out here in, I say the real world, but in the civilian world, you know?
Okay, excellent insights there, Daniel. So we've got one last question for you. Well, I have actually two questions. Do you have any advice for those who might be feeling unmotivated during this time, you know, with the COVID-19 crisis?
Yes, I do. You know, get a routine. You know, if you don't have one already, you hear this a lot. You can see this on LinkedIn and some of the, you know, Twitter and Instagram, and people are telling you, get a routine, especially if you're looking for work or you're working remotely. You may be doing both of these things from home. Get up early, get dressed like you're going out of the house to a physical location to work, take normal breaks and a lunch. You know, when you get done working for the day, change your clothes. Exercise, continue with home projects, you know. And if you don't have some, generate them. You know, they're there. Trust me, they're there. You know, go to bed at a decent time. And to all veterans and families out there, you know, try and limit your consumption of alcohol during this time. You know, it only masks problems and can have the added effect of exacerbating challenges at home. I come from that culture, so I understand it. So reach out and talk to qualified professionals if you want help coping with today. They're there at the push of a button. Take care of each other.
Absolutely. That is so critical now more than ever. So one last question for you, Daniel. I like to ask all our guests, as you know, you're a family man. What do you want your legacy to be? What do you want your children to remember about you?
Wow, that's a great question. Legacy. You know, Virginia Woolf wrote this story called The Legacy. I don't know if anybody's checked it out, but if you get a moment, check it out. What I want it to be is I want it to be something to where when they actually dig into my past, that they uncover some fantastic truths about me, that it wasn't something that was hidden, that I had to hide or anything like that. And so I think that what I want my kids to know about me is that I help people, that I was always fighting for the greater good, and that we are the people we're trying to help. We're not very far off. And I want them to understand that. I want them to understand that successful people will move rocks from one side of a field to another to put food on the table and should always be willing to do that, period. I want them to look back and see that I did that for them and that I would do that for others.
That's so powerful. I will definitely look at the Virginia Woolf piece. And I know your kids have a proud legacy in their papa and really do thank you, not only for Ronstadt, but also for our clients. And thank you, Courtney, you know, also from our Ready Crew. I also wanted to pause and give a big thank you to our listeners globally. We really appreciate your support. Remember that when we celebrate diversity and inclusion, we celebrate humanity. Be sure to spread the word using hashtag Celebrate Humanity and tag our hashtag Diversity Deep Dive podcast. Real diversity happens when everyone is actively engaged and working together for a positive change. Let's keep the conversation going. Please download more episodes of the Diversity Deep Dive podcast. Until next time, seek out positive ways to make a difference in your organization or community and be kind and be humble and respectful during this cataclysmic time. Thank you.